Wairuatapu, haere mai ki konei.
Morena, it's Karen and Elijah here. We are the lead pastors of Unite Church, a family of house churches with an oversight and a shepherd's community.
We desire to grow as apprentices of Jesus, and we do this by practicing the way of Jesus as his church. This centers on a commitment to Jesus and one another with the practice of scripture, prayer, and community.
Ooh. So scripture is about the story of God, to know God.
Prayer is about the spirit of God, to be with God.
And community is about the people of God, to see God in one another.
Let's keep this in mind as we dig into this week's video. And dig into
this video.
Recognize, I was going to be serious, but can't.
Sorry.
Can't be serious. Can't. Okay. All right. Do you ever, okay, this happens to me all the time.
Okay, tell me.
Do you ever walk into a room?
Yes, all the time.
Do you ever walk into a room and forget what you're there for?
Oh, constantly.
Okay, this honestly, so many times I'll walk into a room and I'm like, I've got a clear purpose. I need to get the scissors to cut something. And I'll go into the kitchen and I'll just be like, what did I come here for? And then I'll start like moving things around. Be like, is this what I need to do? And I'll start doing another job. And then like right in the middle of that, sitting on the toilet sometimes, I'll be like, I need the scissors. And it's too late. I don't know what I would have needed them for. But there's so many times we've gone to a room, I don't know if you've had this, where I'm like, I've lost why I'm here.
Yep.
Like there's too many things going on in my
constantly.
Brain.
Yep.
And wondering what the point is. And I think this can happen in life. I think this can happen with churches. That like almost at a soul level, we start off with a clear purpose. And after some time, we find ourselves looking around and wondering, what is the point? Mm. And I want to spend some time sharing about purpose in this video with the hope of bringing an anchor and compass to our practices at Unite. Because the point is long obedience, long encounter, and when it's the long game, it's really easy to lose sight in the day-to-day. And we wonder things like, why do we gather? What's the point in sharing from Scripture? What's the purpose of coming together to pray and share? And when we lose the point, we actually then feel like we stop doing practices. Mm. We stop engaging in rhythms because we're like, oh, what's the point anyway? And I'm just doing it to do it. And instead of stopping those practices, sometimes it's better to actually just re-engage with the point and allow that purpose to motivate us. The Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good deeds. Mm. So instead of growing weary and stopping, why don't we connect to the source, which is Christ? So in the book of John, chapter 13, 34 to 35, Jesus is sharing a final meal with his apprentices before the cross, and after sharing his purpose with them as the one to give his life for the forgiveness of sin, what he's struggling with the ifs, he hits them with this instruction, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You can imagine the table that they're reclining at and everyone looking around as he says this, to love one another. Mm. Now, it could mean something, there's deep meaning here, but even in that moment, they would have been looking around and thinking, here are the people God has called me to love, the people that I'm following him with. Mm. This is the anchoring passage of our community at Unite. Mm. And it really is the driving passage that we sense the Spirit put his finger on for us as we practice in small church, a collection of small churches doing simple rhythms and Bible plan, etc., etc. It was this passage. This is the journey that God is leading us in, the way of Jesus. Mm. And we practice sharing scripture, praying in the Spirit and gathering together for this very reason, to know, practice, and be formed by this great and glorious love of Jesus, this love that existed in the triune God before creation, this love that spoke creation into being, this love that proved itself on the cross and in the resurrection, this love that is ours in Christ Jesus, offered as a gift that cost him dearly, and love that looks to the benefit of the other. It's self-giving love that cares and sees and hears and builds bridges, brings healing, love that stands firm on the truth and walks in the light. Mm. It's the invitation to come to small community, one held in prayer and the care of servant leaders. That's our hope and our prayer, and to journey together in regular rhythm with the intent to worship Jesus as King, to live in trust in Him, of Him, to do this together, seeing His grace at work in our interactions. Sorry, I got a word wrong there. Seeing His grace at work in our interactions with one another, and asking God to show us when we lose sight. Expectant in faith that the Holy Spirit is with us as we read scripture, pray for one another, share honestly, enjoy food together, and come together under the name of Jesus. It's a community of formation, long obedience in the same direction. Simply put, we know, we practice, we grow. No, we know Jesus, we are loved and we love, walking with our Lord by His Spirit in us. Practice. We practice loving one another in gathering, sharing, and prayer, and by the power of His Holy Spirit. And grow. We are shaped by His love, becoming beacons of Christ's love in the places He has called us to be. To know love, to practice love, to grow in love. In a small community, we grow in awareness of one another. It's an exposing place. Each person has a place. Each has an opportunity to have a voice. We are noticed. In a regular community, we grow deeper in trust that enables us to know and be known. We grow closer and more honest. We see different aspects of His grace in those around us. Our assumptions are tested. We are humbled. We learn. We open up. In a focused community, we have clarity. We come with expectation of who Jesus is to be at work in us. We're not just gathering to hang out. It's not just, oh, this is nice, it's a little cute thing. No, no, we have a focus. We look beyond ourselves. We realize that Jesus is the main character. And we come with an open heart to be shaped by Him. We believe. This speaks in line so strongly with the letters to the Corinthians. They are case studies of people trying to grapple with how to apprentice under Jesus together. It's the messy middle. These letters don't answer every question, but give us the values of Jesus and the wisdom that brings life for us to then grapple with in our contexts, with His Spirit and with one another as we seek to live out the command to love one another as He has loved us. In a practice space that we hope will find us formed more and more into people of prayerful love, consenting to the work of Christ in us, which leads us to pray again and be formed by this prayer. Lord Jesus, would we know You? Would we practice what with one another, and would we grow in love? Amen.
Love that. Really love that.
Hit us up with some Corinthians, Karen.
Yes, Corinthians. So obviously we've been reading Corinthians this week, and It's a mixed bag, I've noticed, of people either loving this or not loving this. So I think that's good. I quite enjoy it, actually. So Paul in Corinthians, he's writing a letter to the Corinthians, and he's or a church in the Corinthians. In Corinth, not in Corinthians. They are the Corinthians. So he's talking, he's essentially speaking to their heart, to the heart of humans, to the heart of apprentices of Jesus. Where is their heart aiming? What's it in line with? Who is it being trusted with? There are so many things that we entrust our identity to, and Paul is addressing these things, reminding humans in the church of these things. So I want to read a little bit from 1 Corinthians 7, 19 to 24, and I really enjoyed the message interpretation of this. So, verse 18. Were you Jewish at the time God called you? Don't try to remove the evidence. Were you non-Jewish at the time of your call? Don't become a Jew. Being Jewish isn't the point. The really important thing is obeying God's call, following His commands. Stay where you were when God called your name. Were you a slave? Slavery is no roadblock to obeying and believing. I don't mean you're stuck and can't leave. If you have a chance at freedom, go ahead and take it. I'm simply trying to point out that under your new master, which is Jesus, you're going to experience a marvelous freedom that you would never have dreamed of. On the other hand, if you were free when Christ called you, you'll experience a delightful enslavement to God you would never have dreamed of. All of you, slave and free both, were once held hostage in a sinful society. Then a huge sum was paid out for your ransom. So please don't, out of old habit, slip back into being or doing what everyone else tells you. Friends, stay where you are called to be. God is there. Hold the high ground with him at your side.
Mm.
I love that last bit. Hold the high ground with him at your side. So Paul's speaking in the verses that we've read this week. He speaks into marriage and singleness, how to just be with other humans, idol worship. There's a lot in there. And it's the same message he's speaking, but to different parts of our lives. Hold the high ground with him at your side. If you're married, treat your spouse with respect, with love, with compassion, with him at your side.
Mm.
If you're single, do so with a focus on the Lord, not just a focus on finding another human. He talks to idols and how they have no worth on earth and that there is no God but one. Our identity as apprentices of Christ is built on this.
Mm.
There's process and there's security. There's the mystery and the known lived experience of his goodness and love. And either that's your lived experience or the people in your neighborhood church that you can draw on their stories. There's his life and his death and his invitation to us into those things. It's good to remember also as we read these letters that he was writing to a specific culture, speaking to behavior that he was seeing. So some of the specifics won't apply to us or to you here and now, but if we look a little deeper at his words and where they're coming from, we'll see that he's calling followers of Christ to trust Jesus on a deeper level, getting rid of what entangles us and trips us up, what draws our attention and therefore our identity away from ourselves. Hold the high ground with him at your side.
Mm.
In verse 24, it says, brothers and sisters, each person, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. God has called each of us to apprentice under Jesus. I think when we hear that God's called us to something, we want real specific things, jobs or families, whatever, which is all included in that. But he's called each of us into the Trinity, into being an apprentice under Jesus. What does that look like for you right now?
Mm.
Where do you sense his encouragement in your life?
Mm.
Where do you sense his guiding in your life? Which is the first question.
Fantastic. Yes, I thought you wrote such good questions. I thought we'd put them in here. Nice. Hold the high ground. So good, Karen. I love Eugene Peterson's interpretation. Not a translation, but an interpretation. I think that's pretty profound that someone can read, you know, look the past of their church in such a way that they've rewritten the whole Bible in a way to help. So you can use it alongside your translation. It's a great interpretation. Tahi, first question. God has called each of us to apprentice under Jesus. That's not a question, but this one is. What does this look like for you right now?
And Rua, where do you sense his encouragement in your life?
Toru, where do you sense his guiding in your life?
And to end, let's take some time to stop and consider our money and treasures before God. Where our treasure is, there our heart is also. I invite us to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about our money as a part of our apprenticeship to Jesus in this community of Unite. Father God, thank you for providing for us and for tithes and offerings given to Unite.
Mm.
We trust that you're good and that you lead us well. In your holy name, amen.
Awesome. We always take time to do that because part of tithes and offerings is worship. Yep. And we want to acknowledge that and we want to take it lightly.
Yep.
If you want to contact us, get baptized, get involved in a neighborhood church, discuss starting one, give financially, whatever, you can go to unitechurch.org.nz and we'd love to get in contact with you. We also have a kids Bible club on Monday, 3:30 to 5 at the Unite Hall. Danny Montalban is leading that, doing a great job. If you want to get involved leading, we need some more team members. So if you feel like that's on your heart to help pastor in that way, to help care in that way, would love to hear from you. You can contact me. You can find a way to get that information there. Talk to your shepherd, they'll let me know, but we'd love to have that discussion, even if you're not sure what it means, but you want to have a talk about it.
Yeah, cool.
Please do. Please go before God and ask.
Yeah.
And also City Youth on Thursday, 7 to 8:30, which is our youth, which is great.
Yeah, nice. And our next all-in gathering is the last Sunday of every month, which is whatever that is in May.
Oh, yeah, I forgot
to put that in. April.
20-something. I think it's 26th of May.
Ooh.
Anyway, whatever. You'll find it. Last Sunday
of May.
Mm-hmm. Let's just finish. Don't worry. Let's finish with this prayer. Lord Jesus, would we know you deeply? Would we practice love with one another authentically? And would we grow in love formed by your Spirit and Word in prayer and in practice? In your holy and good name, Jesus, Father and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Aroha nui, unite whānau.
Bye.